Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Listen, one of the things that's going on, and I've recognized it. First of all, we've been on vacation, so I disconnected. I didn't answer emails. I didn't answer but a few texts. I answered one phone call I shouldn't have, and therefore I ain't answering anymore. But I have to say that in the last week, now I went and preached at Pastor Louis's new church, and how many remember when Tim Hines prophesied over him that he'd go to Alabama and he would find a church and fit like a hand in glove? It's a bigger version of our church. It really is. And he fits. They don't know what to do with that crazy Yankee. But, yeah, you know, at least we have enough Yankees in Florida. He's kind of like, woo-hoo. But he's praying 3 hours every day. He's going to the church and he's praying. He's trying to do his part and find his part there. And he opened the door for me. And clearly, I went in with a message. And basically, in the last 2 or 3 months, it's become very apparent that God is breathing on the earth the fivefold ministry. And there's a lot of people in leadership that have never sat in a seat and publicly been confirmed and anointed in their local houses as an apostle. And so I just went ahead and took the liberty and figured if I could tear that church up in one meeting, I could do that. And so I literally didn't ask too much for permission, and that's what I did, and I set some things in order. But I'm saying that to say this, that if you're part of an apostolic house, you're a foundation. Okay? Take Dan and Terry. Because they're part of an apostolic house, they have a heart. God set them up with the ability to fly to other nations and do this stuff. But they became the foundation and brought influencers. Thank God Dan didn't have a syringe and trying to apply the drugs and the medical attention, or Terry either. I trust Terry more than Dan when it comes to that. But what am I saying is they were the foundation of the relationship, and they brought people of influence and skill sets to minister to people that when Dan and Terry said to Pastor James, these are who these people are, their validation opened the door for them to use their skill set. That's apostolic in nature, okay? And the apostolic is always foundational. Sometimes you open the door and they get the microphone and you don't. Are you okay with that? Unless you're not sure that God's called you to be that gatekeeper or that door opener or the foundation of it. And so I'm seeing this around the country. I was at Brian Higbee's at the gathering. And Brian, on Sunday, you know, we did all the hoo-hoo, and then afterwards, Brian Higbee brings up two people out of his leadership that he wants to anoint for a fivefold position, one a prophet, one a pastor. And so he's got Papa Jack, Mama Frieda, me, and the rest of the who's who, the charismatic, you know, conference. And I'm trying to be Charlie and behave myself. And he's doing this. And we're going to lay hands on, and, you know, and he's given all the wonderful stuff. And the Holy Spirit is yelling at me, this is illegal. This is illegal. You better stop it. This is illegal. I'm like, no, this is not my conference. This is not my conference. And God is yelling at me, this is illegal. Put it in order. So what did I do? I went to his wife. I'm not a fool. And I said to Janice, I said, has Brian Higbee ever been publicly had hands laid on him and anointed and confirmed as the apostle of his house? And she goes, no. I go, this is illegal. She says, well, fix it. So he's up there trying to do his beautiful thing, and I'm grabbing a chair. And I said, y'all move her, and I put a chair there. So one of the other brothers, Eddie, comes up, and he goes, what are you doing? I go, this is illegal. Why? He goes, Higbee can't give away something he's never sat in. He's never put, and he goes, well, you better get two chairs. So I go grab another chair. The back of the chair falls off. It, I mean, I'm sitting there wrestling a chair. I mean, they're trying to have an ordination, and I'm just messing up everything. So I set up the other chair. Then I go grab the microphone. I said, this is illegal. Sit down. And he had never had oil poured on him. He had never been anointed. He had never been confirmed. And I said, basically, it's false pride, knucklehead. And so Papa Jack was there, and we did that first, and then he did it. So what am I saying? God is putting some structure to some things, and he's bringing the government of the kingdom, and he's manifesting it through the government of the church. And the fivefold ministry is the government of the church, and God is starting to function in a lot of that areas. I want to preach to you out of John chapter 21. And I want to kind of go with what Michael said and what Anthony said about getting involved. You know, we're trying to drum up something we already have, and I'm definitely affirming the missionary going into all the uttermost. But what are we doing every day? And so here's the situation: is that we were on vacation with Rodney and Debbie Madison and their family. Actually, his youngest daughter's boyfriend. We wanted to make sure he was worthy. You might want to pray for him right now. We didn't whoop up on him too bad. Plus, we were on the 14th floor. We'd have thrown him over the balcony. But the situation was interesting. Is Rodney and I decided we wanted to go commercial fishing. We wanted to go fishing, and it's not an inexpensive thing to rent a boat. Not at all. But you know what? When you don't go fishing all the time, you need a professional to do that. That's a whole message. We'll go another. So we're sitting around barbecuing down at the complex, and there's this guy with tattoos here, Jesus tattoo on his calf. That was a hint. And so, you know, long and short of it, Rodney basically said, listen, he said, he's normally my pastor, but not this week. He's my friend. And so I started the conversation off as tell me your story of your tattoos. And then he finds out I'm a pastor, and then, you know, Jesus shows up. And long and short of it, he wanted to go fishing, but he's like, my Lord, did you see the price on that? And sometimes you can do a walk-in, and we had a cancellation of somebody that was supposed to go with us. And through eye contact, Rodney and I went, you want to go fishing with us tomorrow? And so we had a stranger that showed up at 5:30 in the morning. And I said, so how did you explain that to your wife that you're going fishing? Well, he says, I told him I met Jesus and Paul today. I was Jesus, by the way. That's Paul. And so we went and we caught our limit, and you know, we made it very affordable for him, and then he got the $50 big fish prize too. Yes, I know that. You still owe me the kitty on that. And, you know, so let me explain something to you. I've probably fished more than everybody on that boat, and I got outfished. That is not cool. I call it speaking faith. He called it bragging. Although I did have I had a monster hit me and he got off, but that's. Do what? Yeah. So the bottom line is, and we weren't real pushy with him, but what we did is we opened the door of relationship with Jesus Christ, and it started off with his tattoos. This guy's not a slouch guy. He's a lieutenant in the hazmat division of the fire department of Nashville. So he's also certified medical. He's hazmat. I mean, the guy's, and I saw a heart of compassion on him. Rodney saw it, but we're like, okay, are we here to get him saved? Nah, I think he's saved. He's just lonely. And I'm saying, God, I'm on vacation. He says, good. Why don't you just shut up and be a good friend? Why don't you fish with a guy? Why don't you pick on him like you would anybody else? And I did. And I'm going, I'm stupid. This guy's built, too. He might hurt me, and I might need some hazmat. But you know, once you're on the boat, you're game. You know, that's what friends do. And the Lord basically said to me, just be his friend. And I think Rodney kind of felt the same thing. And his sons and maybe future son-in-law, we're not sure about him yet. We were just being us. And then the next day, we're around the pool, and he comes down, hangs out with us, and we went a little deeper. And here's this guy with tears running down his eyes. He's talking about needing someone to run with. How do you find a friend to run with and talk about Jesus? And we just encouraged him. So this is the message here that I want to talk to you about. John chapter 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Verse 1 is an interesting verse because you got to realize John chapter 21, this is after the crucifixion. This is after Jesus is raised from the dead. How many know that Jesus is already raised from the dead? My question to you is, has he revealed himself to you? It says, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias and revealed himself in this way. What are you telling me? He's no longer Jesus the human. He's Jesus the deity now. He had finished his human assignment. He's all God. Some of us want to keep Jesus to be human so we can feel better about ourselves instead of embracing him as full God. In this way, revealed him in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Canaan of Galilee, and sons of Zebedee, and the two others of the disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And he said this to them, and they said, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Why? Because listen, the crucifixion was a bloody mess. The one that was going to take over, the one that was going to be the king of the Jews, the one that was their escape from the burden that life had put them in, had just been killed. We call it crucifixion. Jesus loved you. Dude, they murdered him. They beat him beyond recognition. They had just come through trauma. Their rabbi, their instructor had failed the human test. Do you understand that? That was their mindset. The human side of Jesus Christ had failed. They had murdered him. And everything he said he was going to do, they had lost hope in. But on the other side of the cross, he revealed himself in this way. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I said, I'll go with you. They went out into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Rodney and our crew, we limited out by 10:30. We caught something. As the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. How many times do you believe that Jesus has been around you and you didn't see him? See, that bugs me because I want to know why I can't see. I want to know how somebody else can come out of a church service and go, oh, I saw Jesus walking in. I saw angels walking in. That message touched me. And other people are going, huh? What's the difference? But let me tell you something. Peter went back to what he was accustomed to doing, fishing. He was a professional fisherman. He was the captain of the boat called High Cotton. That was the name of the boat we were on. High cotton. You know what high cotton is? It's that easy picking. Sometimes, you know, when you walk with Jesus, it becomes easy picking. They caught nothing. They caught nothing. Say that. They caught nothing. Have you ever done what you're really a professional at and had nothing to show for it? I'm going to tell you something. I moved from Vero Beach in 1994 to here. I was one of the best light bulb salesmen. I knew how to make money. I entered into this city and this region. I couldn't sell a light bulb for a profit to save my life. I could say, God, selling light bulbs didn't change. My location did. And he said, yes, but now I'm trying to change your mentality. Verse 4, Jesus, just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Verse 5, Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast a net on the other side of the boat, and you'll find some. I want you to see something here, and I did a quick study this morning. What did Jesus call them? I don't find anywhere before the crucifixion he ever called them children. He called them disciples. He called them beloved. He called them students. He called them a lot friends. He had finished his earthly assignment. Now they're children. That was good. They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast a net on the other side of the boat, and you'll find some. Listen, he didn't say, just cast your net on the other side. He said, and you will find some. It was a declaration. If you obey me. Now, they didn't know who Jesus was yet. Some guy with a little campfire going on over here says, hey, y'all catch anything? No. Cast your net on the other side. And you'll find some. Why? There's something about the frequency of the voice of the Father that if you decide to obey, the miraculous starts showing up. Professional fishermen have been fishing all night. Listen, we fished, and by the time we were done, I was done. I didn't need to fish anymore. It was hot. If you'd have told me, the captain said, hey, cast your net on the other side, I'm like, get behind me. I'm done. I paid my dues. We caught our limit. Although, if we would have caught a wahoo on the way back, I think I might have tried that one. No. He said with a voice that somehow they obeyed him. They didn't know who he was. We say to ourselves, well, I would obey Jesus. Maybe it is Jesus, but you can't see who it is. It might be your wife talking. It might be your husband talking. And be as much Jesus, but because you don't have eyes to see, to have a heart of understanding, you may not know who's talking. So they cast it now, and we're not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. Verse 7. That disciple who Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter. I love that. Do you understand that disciple is the one who wrote this book? You know, the disciple that Jesus loved. Me. I want you to catch this. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. If you don't have an identity that Jesus loves you, you won't have eyes to find him. Do I need to say that again? When you have the identity that you're the one Jesus loves, you'll have eyes to find him, even when he's unrecognizable to someone else. That's good. So love is the eye opener. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. Let me tell you something. We have got to start understanding that we we have a responsibility to work. But when he heard that Jesus, when he heard from one who loved, who said that he's the one that loved God and God knew him, he knew. Am I preaching?
Listen to your wife.
Wow. Where was I? I had a good point I was heading toward. Listen, in the midst of being the professional fisherman, he didn't have his outer garment on. And I said, Lord, what are you telling me? He says, when you and Rodney went down to that area where they cook, did you have your priestly robe on, or were you just a friend? I didn't have my outer garment on. And me and two friends, and Susie's, well, we'll include her on that. She was there. And this guy, we starts talking about, tell me your story about your tattoos. Well, I had this and that, and this is when I was a kid, and da da da. And I said, you know, I said, Jesus had two tattoos. He went, what? Jesus had tattoos. No way. Why? Well, Deuteronomy says, yeah, that's the old one, but the new Jesus and New Testament. And so the next day when we went fishing, he made us pull it up in Scripture and show it to him. Because he went and told his wife, I met Jesus and Peter and Paul, and Jesus had tattoos. They're like, no way. He said, they didn't, you know. Revelation 19 is written on his thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords. What is that? Talked about his robe in the prior verse. It says, on his thigh is written. So that's what hooked him. Why? Because I didn't have my outer robe on. I was just Charlie, Rodney's friend, that knew a little about Jesus, who wanted to get to a man's heart and get past his tattoos. I mean, he didn't like this. Do you realize he didn't like that tattoo? It talked about peace and rest. Well, I just turned it around. I said, listen, when your peace is left, you're not right. You just don't know Jesus. Oh, because he was going to have a new tattoo and cover it and all this. I'm like, man, that might be the best tattoo you got. Much earlier. So my question to you is, why do we always wait until we get into our Christian robe or Christian lingo or Christian thing before we want to talk about Christ? Why can't we do it when we're still stripped down in our work clothes? When we're still stripped down and being a car salesman? When we're still stripped down just working our job, banging on that computer? Can we recognize Jesus and put the outer robe on because we heard his voice, because somebody saw him in us? See, I don't think we recognize when someone sees Jesus in us. And the cry of the heart of people is, do you love me enough to get past my tattoos? Do you love me enough to get past my markings? Get past my scars? Get past my false identities? Here's the interesting thing. He said he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. See, some people put on the garment because they recognize it's Christ, and they leave the harvest. They leave their business, and they pursue Christ. But there was a whole group who brought their business with them. I said, God, what is this? And he says, there's a difference between the fivefold and kings. The kings are business people. The kings bring their resources. Listen, we need kings who understand kings. We need them to bring their produce. their production, their business skills. Is it because they obeyed the Christ? When they obeyed God, it said they had a great harvest, and they were amazed it was so big that the net didn't tear. So here's business people that are dragging toward Jesus. Just Peter got there before them. But let me tell you something. Peter didn't have anything to eat when he got there. So who does he need? He needs what Christ is fixing, and he needs his friends to bring some food. And we want to say Peter's, he's all that and bag of chips. Yeah, he is, but he's going to starve to death without his friends bringing fish. We're going to starve to death without business people finding Christ and bringing their gifts, their skill set into the house and actually employing some people and making them become productive in society and actually father them from a marketplace. Not everybody can jump out of the boat and get into the water. Some of us are married. But what we want to say is, I want to be like Peter. No, you don't. Peter's crazy. Peter is spontaneously after God. He's also the one denying him when the rooster crowed. Where are you at? Are you at the rooster crowing? Or are you still rowing? Doesn't matter when you finally figure out who's on the shore. This is interesting. Verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." Now here's Christ, has a fire, charcoal. Now, this isn't just a new fire. This is already burnt down to the perfect cooking temperature. It says he had fish and he had bread. But isn't it interesting that Jesus had to bring your fish too? See, we want Jesus to prepare a meal and we don't want to bring anything for us. We want Jesus to do it all. But we don't have enough king in us to bring our own fish. Rodney brought me my fish today. Vacuum sealed, ready to go. I'm going to eat me some this afternoon, and no, you're not invited. What am I saying here? Jesus fixed fish and bread, and they all saw who it was. But he said to them, bring what you caught too. Why? Because he wants to co-labor with you, and he wants to co-create with you. There's some lazy Christians running around. Michael, that's what you're talking about. We want Jesus to spoon feed us breakfast, but we don't want to bring any of our own stuff. And what he's wanting to do is get involved with our lives to where we could sit down with our neighbor over a cup of coffee and have more glory show up than a corporate worship service. Dude, your neighbor may be more important to God than this whole body today. Is that wrong? No, it's his choice. But are you finding the Christ that is preparing the fish and the bread to reveal himself and get past the tattoos, the abuses, and the scars to give them eyes to see? Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you have caught. That just kind of great. Hey, bring the fish that you caught. Here's my guy on my shoulder. The ones that you finally obeyed and I help you catch. I mean, am I the only critic in here? Jesus says, he gives them complete credit for catching them. These are professional fishermen that didn't catch nothing all night. He gives them one instruction, they obey, and he gives them credit for the whole catch. What are you getting credit for that is nothing but an act of obedience that only he could do? So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. One of the commentators, there's basically 153 basic core languages in the world today. Core languages. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Your spirit man many times will know it's the Lord, but you're afraid to confirm it in the natural. Why? Because you're afraid somebody around you may think you're crazy. You're afraid someone may criticize you. You actually talk to God? I got one better. He talks to me. What is your fear? Look, do you see this? They knew it was the Lord, but they were afraid to say, who are you? We should be saying, okay, all hell broke loose a few days ago, and they hung you on a cross. Who the heck are you? Would that have been inappropriate? No, I'd be like, dude, like Thomas, let me feel the nail points. Let me feel the, I'm not sure it's you, but I'm telling you what, that's some pretty good cooking. That's a pretty good fish and some pretty good bread. Do you notice how many times that Jesus revealed himself after the crucifixion had something to do with bread? As they broke bread, they realized who he was. Why? Because he's the bread of life. The problem is we're not eating the right stuff. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Now, this was the third time Jesus has revealed to disciples after he had been risen from the dead. Verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, what do you do when you finish breakfast? A good farmer goes to work. Finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What was he saying? Do you know this was a specific question to a specific man who jumped out of the boat and left his profession to find Christ because he heard it was him. He says, do you love me more than these? What, all the fish they caught? Do you love me more than your profession? Because I'm selecting you out of this whole group. I didn't say the rest of you that are professional fishermen that brought the net in and all that and the business people. I'm talking to Peter. Why? I've handpicked him. Does it make him better? No. When you read the rest of it, it doesn't make him better. Because it was a choice to be handpicked by the Messiah. He said, do you love me? That word love was agape. Do you have unconditional love for me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, but Peter didn't use agape, he used Philippo. Peter answered, Jesus said, do you agape? Do you have unconditional love for me versus these fish? And he says, Lord, you know I love you. And he could only answer in, you know I have kindness towards you and I love you like a brother. Why? The revelation of the Messiah had not really sunk in yet. He had to meet him where he was at. And he goes on. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, feed my lambs. He went from fish to lambs. Then he said to him second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He used agape again. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He went back to Filippo. Peter did not have agape in him. The revelation of who Christ was, which was love, agape, had not manifested yet. And he could only answer, you know I'm kind to you and I have brotherly affection toward you. And he said, tend my sheep. So he went from fish to lambs to sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time Jesus didn't use agape. Jesus lowered the standard. He says, Filippo, Peter, do you love me like a brother? What's the difference here? He had, Jesus dropped the requirement because Peter had not had the revelation that when that man that he did not know called them children was actually the Father now. The revelation had not taken root. Peter did not have the capacity to give agape because he had not had the revelation of who Christ really was. He still only saw him as a brother. He kept him at his human form. And at human form, you can only have brotherly love. It takes agape to know agape. But listen, Jesus met him at brotherly love. He said, I'll take you where you're at. Because at the end of this journey, if you keep reading the text, he described to him in the manner in which he would die. Peter was grieved because he said to him, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything and you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. What he was saying is, Charlie, many times I reveal myself to my people and they're only capable of brotherly love. But in the journey with a brother, if you'll love me like a brother and let me walk with you, you will want to pay the price for me to get the glory, and I'll teach you how agape works. I read this morning, and the Lord says, too many times you Peters, who are the selected fivefold ministries, put a requirement on everybody to have agape when all they really want is a friend. And if you'll be a friend to your neighbor and walk with him as a friend, the grace of revelation of who is living on the inside of you, the agape, the deity of God himself, the Father, will convert the ability for agape. In the very end, after all this revelation that Jesus gave to Peter, he made the final statement, follow me. You don't have agape yet. You'll get it. Because when you get it, you'll be willing to die for me. When you're willing to die and give me the glory, then you understand agape. You'll be in ministry equal to what I was. And I took on the sins of the world at the cross. I was willing to die for you. You had agape, but you haven't learned it yet. And listen, this theme this morning, Michael's scripture and Anthony saying, it's time to be friends. It's time to walk with each other. We'll get to agape, but we got to meet them right where they're at. Some of you need to be met right where you're at because you ain't got agape. You're barely friendly. Susie, don't need to put more money in there. Does this make sense this morning? To me, that's the ultimate gift of evangelism. So what if a power evangelist comes in and everybody gets saved, but we're not even friendly enough to be friends? They won't stick, they won't stay, and they'll never mature. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Who are you sharing your bread with? Quit being a prophet. Quit being an apostle. Quit being a pastor. And let's start being friends. Let's start being brothers. Stand to your feet. Put your hand over your chest, over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, teach me to fish with your bait, with your kindness, with your commitment to be my brother first. And when the revelation that you died for the cause, that I could know the Father, you bring me to maturity and unconditional love for you first and for others second. I thank you for that grace. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.